Now, the text of Scripture I want us just to look at today is the verse number 11 of Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, to be victorious in battle, it is important that every military commander has an awareness, if you like, has a knowledge of the enemy who opposes him. Indeed, for that particular reason, over years and of time and over history, much money, time, and indeed lives have been spent and sacrificed on spying out the enemy and finding out the strength of the enemy who opposes in the day of battle. Now, in all of this, there's a very important lesson for God's people. And the lesson is this: if the believer is to be victorious over the devil, then not only must the believer be spiritually strong, as we saw last week when we looked at verse number 10 of this chapter, but along with that, the believer must also be aware, be conscious, have, if you like, a knowledge of the strategy of the devil against him or her in their Christian life. Indeed, Paul reminds the Ephesian Christians of this very matter in our text in verse 11. When he says there, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You notice there how at the end of that verse number 11, he mentions there the wiles of the devil. And that really means, if you like, the strategy of the devil. And with these words, Paul was reminding the believers at Ephesus of the attack of the devil, the attack of Satan upon them. Yes, as they sought to live the Christian life, as they sought to serve God through their church, as they sought to serve God in their community, in their workplaces, wherever they were in life, they needed to be aware, needed to be conscious of the devil's attack upon them. Yes, they needed to realize that once they were saved and seeking to serve God and do the will of God and live for God, they became the devil's number one target. His fiery darts were aimed against them. And people, just as it was important for the Ephesians in the day of the Apostle Paul to realize this, so it is equally important for you and I who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting to realize and to consider this same truth also. Yes, if you and I, yes, if we are to fight the good fight of faith, if we are to be victorious for God in our daily life and circumstances and vocation and life, whatever that is, then we as Christians need to be aware, we need to have that knowledge, as it were, of the devil and his wiles against us. We need not be sleeping, as it were, as the people of God. We need to be awake to this fact and aware and conscious of the wiles, the strategy of the devil against us as the people of God. It's for that reason then that I want us to focus our thoughts of this message and the structure of this message upon this verse here this morning, verse number 11, where Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." As we consider then the wiles of the devil against God's people, the number of thoughts I just want to set before you today in this gathering. Notice first of all here with me the devil's power. And you see that really outlined in verse 12, the following verse, where Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places." And here Paul warns the Ephesian believers of the power of the devil and his agents against them as God's people. By the devil's power, here is really highlighted in the nature of the devil and his agents who are employed by Satan against God's people. And what is that nature? Well, that nature is really summed up in two words there at the end of verse 12, the words spiritual wickedness, where Paul talks there about spiritual wickednesses in high places.
What does that term really mean? That word there, wickedness, it really means that which was bad, that which is evil, that which is lewd and harmful and iniquitous. And my, this is the nature of the devil. This is the nature of all the demons of the devil and all his fallen angels. And when you think about that, dear people, you see here that the devil and his fallen angels, that their nature is the complete opposite of God. God who is holy. God who is without sin altogether. Now we can say today, yes, all the evil and sin that abounds in our land. All the evil and sin that abounds in the world around us today. People, Satan and his fallen angels, Satan, yes, and his demons, they are behind it all. They are the architects of it all. Also, this term here, spiritual wickedness, it reminds us, yes, that the devil and his demons are spiritual beings. Yes, the devil and his angels, they are an invisible foe. And my, they are unceasing in their attack upon God's people and upon the church of Christ throughout the earth. That's what the Bible shows us and teaches us. Turn with me your Bible back to the Old Testament book of Job. Job chapter number 1. Remember, Job was an Old Testament Christian, and he felt the onslaught of the devil upon him in the trials and all that befell him here on earth as a Christian. And look at what the Lord says to Satan before this great onslaught takes place in Job's life, in Job chapter 1 and verse number 7. It says, "The Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." By those words there before us in that verse 7 of Job chapter 1, they really show us there that the devil, as our spiritual adversary, is one who can roam very quickly from one part of the earth, one part of the world to another. He talks about going from one part of the earth to and fro in the earth, and that's his strategy in attacking God's people. Indeed, he can move very quickly from one part of the world to another part of the world to attack the church of Christ, to attack the people of God. And people, as you think about that, it's important also to emphasize here that the devil is not omnipresent. It is only God who is omnipresent. God, yes, is present in all the world at one time. Yes, God is God alone. However, the devil can move from one part of the world to another, attacking God's people very quickly, very swiftly. And then we can say further from what is said in Ephesians chapter 6 here that the devil's power is further highlighted by the number of his agents. Look again at verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul there speaks of principalities. He speaks of powers. Those words there, they're all in the plural. And that really teaches us, it shows us that the devil has a multitude of fallen angels at his disposal. You remember what the Bible tells you about the man of Gadara in the New Testament? The Bible speaks of that man of Gadara and says how he was possessed, it says, with a legion of evil spirits. And in Bible times, a legion was a number somewhere between 4,000 to 6,000. That's what really was the number of a legion in Bible times. And it shows us that man was possessed of a vast multitude, a legion of evil spirits. And here we see, as God's people, yes, that the devil is a most formidable foe, a foe that is not to be laughed at or underestimated at by the people of God. Then we can say further here from what is said in Ephesians chapter 6 that the devil's power is also highlighted in the darkness that he brings. Look again at verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter number 6 there. We see how the devil and his angels, or his agents, are described, it says, as the rulers of the darkness of this world. And our world today is a spiritually dark place. We see that all around us. Multitudes, yes, are deceived by the darkness of false religion and superstition. Multitudes also in our society and throughout the world are spiritually blind to the gospel, spiritually blind to their need of Christ as Savior. And the devil's power is behind all this darkness, this blindness that engulfs the hearts of men and women and young people without the Lord. You turn with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse number 17, or verse number 7 rather, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, sorry, verse number 4 of the chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 4. And here Paul speaks about this very fact, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, and he says, in whom the God of this world, and when he talks there in that verse about the God of this world, he's speaking specifically of the devil, of Satan. And he says, the God of this world have blinded, that speaks of spiritual darkness, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You look at the darkness in this town, this county, this community, the darkness in this country, spiritually speaking. The devil is behind it all. He's the culprit. He is the chief architect. His power is seen in the fact that he brings spiritual darkness to the hearts and minds of people. Think of the multitudes they are in our society following the false superstitious religion of Roman Catholicism, of Islam, Hinduism, the cults such as the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. The devil is behind all that darkness and all that superstition and all that blindness, and people are just swept up with it. Why? Because their minds have been blinded by Satan. There's a darkness upon the natural heart of man through the attack of Satan upon the souls of men and women. Dear friend, in our meeting this morning, let me ask, is it the case with you that as you sit in this meeting today that you have no concern? No concern about your salvation? No concern about your need of Christ as Savior? In this gathering, you have no concern about your need to be saved from sin and saved from a lost eternity in hell. And the reason for such lack of concern in your own life is this. You've been blinded. You've been duped. You've been deceived by the devil. That's the cause of it all in your heart and life. Indeed, had you a real concern about your need of salvation, you would have trusted Christ long ago and embraced him as your own and personal Savior. Oh, see that today. The devil is the cause of that spiritual blindness that keeps you back from Christ, keeps you back from the gospel. Yes, we see here the devil's power, but not only the devil's power. Notice secondly here from our text in Ephesians chapter 6, notice the devil's strategy. Look again at what is said in verse number 11 of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, there, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And there we see how his strategy is summed up in those words here at the end of verse 11, the wiles of the devil. When you and I think of the wiles of the devil, we must remember, yes, that the devil is the great adversary. From the dawn of time, from the beginning of time, he is the great adversary of God and all God's people and all God's church. And I tell you today, people, the devil's aim, what is it? It is to attack and it is to destroy everything that is of God. That's his constant aim, to attack and destroy everything that is of God. And seeking to fulfill this purpose, he will do all he can to lead people into sin, but by way of temptation. And you see that in Eve and Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, the beginning of time. Turn back to Genesis chapter number 3, right back to the beginning of time, to the dawn of creation. God had created Adam and Eve from the dust of the ground. He had placed them in the Garden of Eden. He had commanded them that there was one tree they were not to eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan came and he attacked God, what God had commanded. He attacked the paradise of God in Eden. And he tempted Eve to take the forbidden fruit. Look at verse 4, 5, and 6 of Genesis chapter 3. It says, and the serpent, that's the devil, said unto the woman, that's Eve, ye shall not surely die. He contradicted the very word of God. He attacked the word of God. And then in verse 5, It says, "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Notice here the deception of the devil. He promises Eve something far better, that they would be, as it were, gods, knowing good and evil. What was the outcome? Eve succumbed to the temptation, verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And hence the fall of man into sin in the Garden of Eden. And in this here we see how the devil, he prompted Eve to disobey God, to doubt God's word, and he led her then to take the forbidden fruit and to sin against God. And that is the devil's strategy. That is part of the wiles of the devil. And Christian, in the meeting this morning, learned from this that the devil, yes, believer, will use anyone. Indeed, he will use anything to lead you and I as Christians into sin. That's his strategy. That's his wiles. And by so doing, he will seek to ruin our testimony as Christians, as God's people. He will seek to attack the work of God, the cause of Christ, be it here or further afield. That's his scheme. You remember in Matthew chapter 6, you have the Lord's Prayer, a very important passage of Scripture for the Christian to study regarding prayer. And one of the petitions there in Matthew 6, verse 13 is this: "Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil." And there the Lord was especially addressing his disciples who were saved, who were called, who were his servants. And he teaches them to pray in that fashion, that the Lord would keep them from temptation, from yielding to the devil and doing what is wrong. Christian, that's a prayer that you and I need to pray every day of our lives as God's people, as we go out to face the world, be it in our workplace, in our home, in our community, wherever, that the Lord, yes, would keep us from temptation, from yielding to sin and going down a wrong pathway as the people of God. How important that we pray that day by day before God as the people of God. Then we can say further this morning regarding the devil's strategy that another way that the devil attacks is by deception. The Bible describes the devil as the great deceiver. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says this: "The devil deceiveth the whole world." He's the great deceiver. And he deceives by unbelief. He causes the ungodly to deny the very existence of God. He causes the ungodly to deny the very reality of the soul of man and man's great need of salvation through unbelief. He causes man to deny that. Let me say again to you in the meeting today who are unsaved, you who are listening in unsaved, let me say this: do not listen to the devil's lying. The Bible says the fool have said in his heart, "There is no God." There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven that we all must give account to. The Bible says, "So every one of us shall give account of himself unto God." Remember this also: you have a soul, a spiritual part of your being that is vital, a vital part of your being that God has created you with. Think of the words of Christ when he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Multitudes today in our society around here say, "Oh, we don't have a soul. We just live here and now." Multitudes have been deceived through the awful lie of evolution, that man was created through a big bang or a big explosion or from a frog or from a monkey. That's the devil's lie, the devil's deception. You have a soul. Young people, boys and girls in the meeting this morning, your soul is the most important part of your being. You're created with an immortal, never-dying soul. Oh, understand this today if you're not saved. There's a God in heaven. One day all of us will stand before God in this meeting. You have an immortal soul. You need salvation. The Bible says we must be saved. You need to be saved from your sin. You need to be saved from a lost eternity in hell. That's the message of the Bible, the message of the Word of God. The The devil, he deceives men by causing them to turn away from this, not to believe the message of the Bible, the message of the Word of God. And anybody who turns their back upon the message of the Bible and the Word of God, they're deceived, they're blinded by the devil. The devil also seeks to undermine the believer's own faith in the Word of God. Paul warned the Hebrew Christians of that very fact. In Hebrews 3, verse 12, he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." He was speaking there to Christians, to those who were saved. Again, think of Eve. Why the devil caused her to doubt God's word. He said, "Ye shall not surely die." And Eve sadly doubted the word of God. Child of God, let me say today, God's word is truth. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. You can trust the word of God with every fiber of your being, every fiber of your soul. Think of what the hymn writer says, "Fear not to rely on the word of thy God. Do not listen to the devil's voice of unbelief. Depend and rest upon the word of God, dear Christian." And the devil also is one who attacks by way of accusation. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he is described there as the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of God's people. That's again part of his strategy, part of his wiles against the people of God, the church of Christ. In attacking you and I who are saved, he delights to bring past sins and failures to our minds and to our remembrance. And with this, he will accuse us. He will tell us that we're not fit to be Christians. He will tell us that we're not fit or able to serve the Lord. He will tell us that God wants nothing more to do with us. And that's the way the devil accuses the Christian and God's people. And believer, can I say this? When that attack comes, listen not to the devil. Listen not to the lies and the accusations of the evil one, but rather listen to God. Listen to the word of God, the truth of God. What does God's word say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7? "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." What does it say in 1 Peter 1, verse 5? "Of the believer who are kept," it says, "by the power of God, the Lord who saves is the one who keeps." When the devil comes and whispers in your ear and says, "God wants nothing more to do with you, dear believer," remember what God says in his word. "Lo," he says, "I am with you always, even unto the world." He says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Oh, listen not to the voice of unbelief. Listen not to the voice of accusation from the devil. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the truth of the word of God. But notice one final thought here in connection with our text, and it is the devil's defeat. The devil's defeat. And we can see here that, yes, every believer can overcome the devil's strategy and the devil's scheme and wiles and can be victorious for God. And that victory is linked, you'll see from the passage, to the armor of God that he has provided for his people. Look at verse 11 again in its entirety. Paul here, remember, he's speaking to those who are saved. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Paul has a battle scene before him, and the Christian life is a battle. It's a spiritual warfare. And he says to these Christians, "Put on the whole armor of God," the armor that God has provided. "Put it on," he says, "that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The Ephesian Christians here must put on the whole armor of God. And believer, you and I, we must do the same as Christians. That's our responsibility. The hymn writer says, "Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer." What is that armor? Well, it's listed for us there by Paul. Verses 14 to 17 of the chapter. Notice what he says. He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked," that's the wicked one, the devil himself, "and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And there he outlines for these Christians the armor that God has provided. And in the will of the Lord, in the weeks that are to follow, we want to look at each piece of this armor in detail that God has given to us and provided for us as the people of God. But believer, the lesson here to glean is this: through Christ and through God's armor, there is victory. Victory for you and I as Christians in this world, in the scene of time, to overcome the evil one. There's victory over defeat, over the devil's attack, through Christ, through the armor that God has given to us. That's what God wants us to see and realize. That's how God wants you and I to live as Christians. Look at verse 13 of the chapter. Notice again the emphasis here to the Christian to put on the armor of God. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." Paul repeats this within a short space of time. Such is the importance of this in the life of the Christian and the life of the church. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You notice there how he mentions the evil day there in verse number 13. That's very important to note that. That little phrase there, the evil day, really means a day of unparalleled trouble, a day of unprecedented trouble in the life of the Christian, indeed in the life of the Church of Christ. And I believe certainly as we near the end of this age and the return of Christ, that trouble will increase, it will intensify. But for us as individual believers in the meeting here, the lesson is this, brethren and sisters in Christ, that evil day is something that will come the way of every one of us who are saved as God's people. It will come in one shape or another. This is something we cannot avoid on this battlefield as we war warfare for God and for Christ. It can't be avoided. It will come our way. But the thing here to note is this, dear Christian, as we face that day and as that day of unprecedented trouble comes our way as Christians, as God's people, it is through Christ and by putting on the gospel armor that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice how Paul puts it there. He says, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand." That speaks of holding ground, not giving in to the enemy. Withstand the evil day, having done all to stand through Christ, through the armor that God has provided for us in and through Christ. We can be victorious as Christians in this world, in the scene of time, whatever comes our way, whatever our lot in life is as God's people. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, it says, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That speaks of victory for the Christian. Yes, in Christ and in the armor that he has provided for us, there's victory for us over the wiles of the devil against us as the people of God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, let us rest upon Christ. Let us lean upon the Lord and look to the Lord. Be strong in him. In the evil days in which we live, and when that evil day comes upon us as God's people, let us stand for the Lord and withstand the strategy, the wiles of the devil against us, that we might live for God's honor, God's glory, bring glory and honor to Christ. If you're in the meeting this morning, you're not saved, let me say this, that if you are to experience that same victory and be saved from sin and hell, be sure of heaven, then you must turn by faith to Christ. Repent of your sin, confess your sins to him, trust in his precious blood shed at Calvary to wash away your sins. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Christ is a mighty Savior. The Bible describes him as the captain of our salvation. He is a victorious captain. And those whom he saves, he keeps. Not one is lost. He'll bring all safely into the garner and the barn of heaven. Friend, today, if you're not saved, come to Christ, close in with him, trust him, and prove his power and grace in your life day by day until he comes, until he calls you home to glory. We're going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. But if you're not saved today, I urge you to come to the Lord
I'll not be going to the door this morning. We just have a funeral to go to this afternoon. But we apologize about that. But do remember the meeting tonight. Plan to join with us. Invite, encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us here in Thy house this morning. And Lord, help us as Your people to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We thank Thee, Thou said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We thank Thee for the victory of the cross, that victory that Christ purchased for us when He suffered and bled and died and rose again. Help us to live in the light of that victory day by day as the people of God, knowing that in Christ we have all the grace we need to face every circumstance, every battle in life as the people of God. For any, Lord, in the gathering today not saved, speak to them. May they not leave the gathering without the Lord, but may they come and put their faith and trust in Him, whom to know is life eternal. Answer prayer. Take us now to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be our portion now and always. Amen. Amen.